Well, hello and welcome to Truth in Journalism, a radio broadcast dedicated to applying the Word of God to current events. Well, today on Truth in Journalism, we're going to talk about government. Our story is from the Wall Street Journal and is entitled, Push to Defund Police Faces Headwinds in Some Poor Black Neighborhoods, Chicago. 3 days after his 29-year-old son was shot and killed, Keith Harris joined a group of residents who clashed with protesters during a demonstration outside the Chicago Police Department's 7th District Station in the Englewood neighborhood. The turbulent confrontation last week pitted demonstrators seeking to defund the police against crime-weary residents who say they want the department to better serve them. "I don't see how defunding the police is going to help anything in Englewood," said Mr. Harris. A day later, Mr. Harris made funeral arrangements for his son, Keith Richmond. "I'm the last person who would be a police cheerleader because I've had my own run-ins with them," he said. But, he added, "What are you going to do when they're not there to protect you?" The Englewood neighborhood on Chicago's South Side is the kind of community that activists say they are fighting to help, a poverty-stricken, mostly black area with endemic crime. There have been 200 shootings this year in Englewood, an 80% increase over the same period in 2019. Yet an increasingly vocal number of business owners, community leaders, and residents say they are tiring of calls to defund police departments, viewing protesters largely as outsiders unwilling to do the hands-on work they say is required to improve black communities. Black leaders in other cities have pushed back against activist demands to shrink or abolish police departments. In New York and New Jersey, some black and Latino lawmakers recently urged their colleagues to hold off on proposals to slash police budgets. Nearly 9 in 10 black Americans said major changes were needed to overhaul policing in the U.S., according to a recent poll from the Gallup Center on Black Voices. Yet only 22% of black respondents supported the idea of abolishing the police, the poll found, compared with 20% of Latinos and 12% of white respondents. Lance Williams, a professor of urban community studies at Northwestern Illinois University, said opinions likely depend on how closely people are affected by neighborhood violence. A person living in a safer part of Englewood may like the idea of cutting police budgets, while neighbors on a more dangerous block probably worry about what will happen with fewer police. Not everybody from the community is all the same, he said. "Are we mad enough to support black businesses and invest back into our own communities yet?" said Asaya Butler, founder of the Resident Association of Greater Englewood. She posted her question on the group's Instagram page last week after protesters came to Englewood and looters descended on other city neighborhoods, including the downtown retail strip known as the Magnificent Mile. Some business owners said they needed more support from police than from protesters. Humberto Leon, who owns a popular t-shirt shop in the neighborhood where tables are piled high with tees selling for as little as $1.50. "The only problem with the police is that they don't show up," he said. The Chicago Police Department said it always works to protect residents and business owners. Others said that they need to keep money in the community. Charisse Price, 43, owns an insurance company near 63rd and Ashland, and this week wore a t-shirt that read, "Black Dollars Matter." Some residents say that protesters would do more good by working in the neighborhood. They pointed to community groups that give away food and other necessities, and a local dance troupe leader who said he pays for practice space from his own pocket. The neighborhood wish list includes a youth center and mental health workers, residents said, as well as police officers who are on the scene quickly when there is trouble. Joseph Williams, a 31-year-old married father of 5 in Englewood, said he would like to see police better engage with residents to build trust rather than disband. He's trying to coordinate a dialogue with protest organizers. "If there's no police at all, what's the backup?" "Defunding police forces will only make things worse," said Eddie Farrell, 37. "Not only do you lose the little bit of protection you have, but you don't get to allocate where that money goes. If people really wanted to help Englewood, they'd come down here and live." For Mr. Harris, the business of policing is personal. His son was killed when a car accident in August 8 escalated into a guns-drawn altercation. The shooting was among 31 reported in Chicago that weekend, 3 of them fatal. "Through a lifetime in Englewood, Mr. Harris has lost friends to violence," he said. "And over the years, he's seen activists and politicians come and go," he said, "along with well-meaning projects that have fallen short for lack of community input and participation." Mr. Harris said he understands that change takes time and that the way forward needs to include building better relationships with police. "If the police are wrong, we hold them accountable," he said. "If they're right, we work with them." For now, he said, he wants police to do their job and find justice for his son. So I've been doing a lot of thinking about the issue of defunding the police and all that that means, reading articles, essays, and talks, and I've come to the conclusion that while there may be some people who say defund the police And what they mean is, let's reallocate resources to different departments, or maybe they mean, let's just demilitarize the police. And those may be legitimate public policy issues. They may be things that we need to do, or at least we should take it seriously. But when people talk about defunding the police, and that's all they say is defund the police, and all they mean is defund the police, then I'm sorry, you're not a serious person, and I'm not going to treat you like a serious person. Because the word defund means to stop giving money to. Now, I know that there are people out there who say that defund is a process, and it only means to reduce funding. One popular meme talks about how schools have been experiencing defunding for years. No, that's not how English works. Yes, when you use a participle instead of a finite verb in English, it means progressive action. But when you say defund, that means stop giving money to. Maybe we shouldn't have been defunding schools, and people might know the difference between defund and defunding. Okay, so let's stop this whole thing. Okay, there are a lot of people who actually want to abolish and defund the police. So yeah, there may be supporters of BLM and Antifa who are trying to give intellectual air cover to these stupid and nonsensical slogans, which, by the way, the vast majority of slogans are stupid and nonsensical and don't hold up to any kind of scrutiny. So, like, maybe we should just stop sloganeering. Like, but anyways, the reality is that English words have meaning, and trying to obfuscate the meaning of words and the functioning of standard grammar doesn't make you intellectual. It makes you dishonest and sleazy. But this is all part of a growing cluster of movements in this country. The rise of anarchism and communism and black nationalism all have at least one thing in common. They all want to overthrow the existing regime. They think America is bad and they want to overthrow the government. Now, if this were a political show, if what we do on Sunday were a purely political show, or if I were writing on my blog, for instance, I might make a historical and political argument about why overthrowing our government is about the stupidest thing that you could do if you want to accomplish human flourishing. But this is a show where we try to apply the word of God to current events. That's the mission of this broadcast. And today, we look at these growing efforts to defund and abolish police departments that are coming from absolute radicals. And we have to ask, well, what do we do? Does the Bible have anything to say about this? And yes, it does. Let's look in Romans 13. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Okay, so the reason that I want to look at Romans 13 today is actually pretty simple. I want to lay out a case for why government exists, and that's a broader case, but specifically why police in the government exist. Because, friends, that's what the Bible is saying is really what the good people of Chicago are trying to say. These black residents and black business owners in Englewood are saying, listen, you might not like everything the police do. In fact, a lot of us dislike some of the things the police do. But if you get rid of the police, it's going to be a whole lot worse. These folks understand why government exists. They understand why we have police. Look at what Paul says to the people living under the emperor. He says that rulers exist. They are God's servants who do you good. How do they do good? They're supposed to create the conditions for human flourishing by punishing evildoers and commending the righteous. Do governments fail in that charge? Of course they do. Of course governments fail to do those things. And when people in government punish the righteous and commend the wicked, then they're acting in a way that is contrary to how God wants them to act. But that doesn't illegitimate government. The problem is that people are sinners. Now, I know that seems a bit overly simplistic, but it really isn't. It's actually the answer that makes sense of what God says in Romans 13. If you want to know how Paul could write about an empire ruled by Nero Caesar and say that Nero was God's servant, if you want to understand how the apostle could write such things, then the answer you need to look for is human depravity. Let me put it another way. You think about how bad things were under Nero. And God is saying through Romans 13, he's saying that despite how bad things are under the Caesars, things were still better with Nero than with no government at all. No matter how bad a government is, anarchy is worse. Now you say, but Luke, look at Stalinist Russia. Look at Nazi Germany. Yeah, those places were horror shows. Okay? They were absolute horrors. Hitlerism and Stalinism are horrifying and evil and bad. But you know what? They were still better than anarchy. Look at the people who live in the jungles of South America or New Zealand. Look at the people who live in these clans and tribes and places in Africa. They live an equally brutal and perhaps even more bloodthirsty existence. Friends, you don't need much of a background in history or anthropology to know that the natural state of man is not good and kind and righteous. The natural state of man is cruel, vicious, depraved, and wicked. As bad as Stalin and Hitler were, they were better than anarchy. As bad as Chairman Mao and Pol Pot were, they were better than anarchy. Because under anarchy, you don't have one Holocaust or one purge. You have endless Holocausts and endless purges and endless vendettas and endless blood avengers. The black business owners of Chicago, they understand this. They understand that when you remove police, you create what's known in certain circles as a power vacuum. Now, this isn't Bible, but I think it's true that nature abhors a vacuum. If you create a power vacuum, something will fill it. If you get rid of the police, a couple things will happen in a pretty predictable fashion, pretty easily predictable fashion. One, crime will skyrocket. Two, some criminals will become even more powerful than all the other criminals. Three, some criminals will extort business owners and normal people in exchange for protection. Four, you will get a shadow government of organized crime. We've seen this over and over here in the United States. We've seen it in Mexico, South America. We've seen it in former Soviet republics. We've seen it with narco traffickers. We've seen it with arms dealers. We've seen it with you know, people dealing with smuggling and prostitution. We see it everywhere. We even see this in history's greatest micronation, the Chaz Chop in Seattle, which quickly devolved into having a self-described warlord named Raz Simone. Okay, governments do bad and evil things, yes, and yes, people should fight against corruption and abuse, but by and large, people get the government they deserve. Corrupt, godless people get corrupt, godless rulers who are, surprise, surprise, corrupt and godless. Godly, righteous people, by and large, get good and godly governance. And this isn't just true in democracies, this has happened throughout history, because lest we forget, God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men, and he gives them to whomsoever he wishes. Right now, as I said, there are a lot of foolish and ridiculous people, and they are foolish and ridiculous, who are calling for the abolition of police. These people fit into one of three categories. A, they don't understand human nature, and they think that people will live in peace and harmony if they're left alone. They believe that all human problems are because of society. We all know these kinds of people. They're the ones that are always telling you about the latest parenting book that they read, and they're trying to foist their literature on you while their rotten kids are out slashing tires and torturing kittens. We all know these people. B, there are people who are just stupid and say things because they sound good and they feel virtuous for saying the same thing a whole bunch of other people are saying. Remember how I told you slogans are stupid and stupid people use slogans? Okay? So A and B are both ridiculous people, and they frankly don't deserve our respect. People like that will just waste your time. However, there is a third group. C, some people are evil, and they know that removing cops will lead to a power vacuum, and that's exactly what they want. They want a crisis so they can exploit that crisis, whether through politics or crime, although sometimes you have to wonder if there's a difference, am I right? They want to exploit other people's suffering, and that's ghoulish and satanic, but it's not at all uncommon. And these people need to be taken deadly seriously. Friends, I have problems with our government. When I come to power, things are going to have to change, okay? But abolishing the police will not lead to greater human flourishing, and it will not create a society and a world in which the gospel can be shared and become most effective. It will simply lead to needless death and human misery. Christians must recognize that while we can't and shouldn't put our hopes in human government, God does ordain it for a purpose, and we need to ensure, insofar as it depends on us, that government can fulfill its purpose of commending the good and punishing the wicked. And for government to do that, it needs to have good, godly, and righteous people who are police, who will protect people, who will punish the guilty, who will hate corruption and dishonest gain, and who will make America a better place to live in. We as Christians need to help people like that come to power, and have positions of authority. I hope and pray we will. And I hope you'll join us again next week for another exciting episode of Truth and Journalism. Thank you, and may God bless your day to His glory.